Scripture reading tonight is taken from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. I'll be reading from the New King James. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Good to be with you tonight. Hope and trust everyone had a good afternoon. I feel obligated to say on a night like tonight, to those especially who's visiting with us, that on a regular basis, my sermons on Sunday night are a little bit shorter. And I say that only because I know it's Christmas Eve, and I don't want you to think for a minute that my lesson is short because it's Christmas Eve. I kind of feel obligated on nights like tonight or Super Bowl Sunday. You know, people think sometimes I've never cut a sermon short because of Super Bowl Sunday. Believe it or not, I know of congregations who have canceled services on that particular night. But I want you to know that that is a normal practice. You can ask the members here. They appreciate it, I think. And it's not because they ever complain about the length of my sermons. I've not ever gotten one complaint about that. I can't speak for the elders. They may have. But I've never gotten a complaint about that at all. So it doesn't have anything to do with that at all. It's just have been my practice over the years. And so that is why tonight's lesson will be a little shorter than the Sunday morning lesson. And thinking about Christmas Eve, let me talk to you just a little bit tonight about why it is we don't observe Christmas as a religious holiday. And I know that on tomorrow, people all through this country, all over this country and other places, people will be observing tomorrow as the birthday of Christ. And sound local congregations simply don't do that. And tonight, just for a little while, I'll look at three reasons why we don't do that. The first reason is very simple and obvious, and that is, tomorrow is not the birthday of Christ. And that is something that we can be absolutely sure about. You might remember over in Luke, the second chapter, you might turn over there just for a second. And in Luke chapter 2, of course, Jesus is about to be born. It tells the story of the birth of Christ. And Joseph and Mary have gone to Bethlehem because Joseph is of the lineage of David, of the house of David, and the registration is going to take place at the command of the Caesar, Augustus. And so that's why they are there, and at that time, Jesus is born. And of course, the verse that we're interested in is verse 8, where it says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the fields," or the field, rather, "where shepherds were keeping watch, rather, over their flock by night." Now, the point of that passage is we know that the shepherds did not have the flock out there during the winter. They would do that in the summer months. They would do that up until late October, no later than November, but they certainly wouldn't be in the fields with the flock in December, and certainly not December 25th. So there is no question, and I don't know that any historian or anyone ever even doubts this, that December 25th is not the birthday of Christ. So why, pray tell, would we celebrate it as such? And in fact, most people, religious folks who do that, again, they acknowledge very quickly that it's probably, they'll say probably, we know it's not for sure, but they'll say it's probably not the birthday of Jesus. But that's just the day that they have come up with. I'll not get into the history of that and why it's December 25th. But basically, they're just doing their own thing. And that really, ladies and gentlemen, is the problem with the religious world today. That there are too many people, when it comes down to serving God, that are simply doing their own thing. And we refuse to do that at the Brown Street Church of Christ. And again, faithful, sound local congregations refuse to do that. There are more and more, even churches of Christ, who are observing December 25th as the birthday of Christ, believe it or not. When I was in Louisville, there was a popular radio program by one of the larger liberal congregations in the city. And the preacher was on the program. He did the whole radio program on why it is okay to observe December 25th as the birthday of Christ. That was the Church of Christ. And so we're finding more brethren doing that, but faithful and sound brethren simply don't do that because we recognize we have to do all things according to the pattern. We can't just decide that we're going to do something and just do it. That's not the way it works religiously. And why would we celebrate the Lord's birthday when not only we don't know when it is, we don't know that He wants His birthday celebrated? And it's like if you celebrated my birthday just on any day, it'd be kind of offensive to me. Unless I gave you permission to do that. Maybe you said, Don, we're going to celebrate your birthday a few days early or a few days late, and this is why. And I said, well, all right, that's fine. But for you just to do it because you think I might want that, that'd be kind of offensive. Why in the world would we celebrate the birthday of Christ on tomorrow when not only do we not know when His birthday is, but we can be sure that it wasn't tomorrow, whenever it was? The fact of the matter is, even if the world was celebrating the birthday of Christ sometime in the summer, we still wouldn't do it. Why? Because of our second point. And that is the fact that it wasn't commanded. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. This is the scripture reading, and of course, we're very familiar with the passage that Gary read to us. It is the Great Commission. But we have to pay attention to the details of Matthew chapter 28. Again, beginning at verse 18, Matthew 28 at verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and He said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Now we recognize that, don't we? Jesus is the head of the church. Colossians 1 at verse 18, He has the preeminence in all things. So what that means is that Jesus decides what the church is going to do religiously, how we're going to worship and what work we're going to do. In all of that, Jesus is the one who decides that because He's the head of the church. All authority has been given to Him. And so He says that here very plainly, but watch what He says next. At verse 19, He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them." This is where the passage comes down to us. Like He's talking to His apostles, but when He tells His apostles to teach them, that is, those who are baptized, that makes this passage applicable to all Christians for all generations to come, including us. Now watch what He says to them then. He says, "Go and make disciples, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus tells us specifically what it is that we're to observe. We are to observe all things that He commanded us. Now, where in the Bible did Jesus command us to observe His birthday? He did not. We're not to observe anything that's not commanded. We're to observe all things that He has commanded us to observe. Since He hasn't commanded us to observe His birthday, then we cannot do it. When we do it, we're going beyond the Word of God. We're no longer abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And John says, as a result, we have not God. So a preacher, even in the Church of Christ, can get up on a radio program and say, "Well, I think it's okay, it's appropriate for us to observe the birthday of Christ," but it still doesn't make it right. He's just wrong about that. We have to do what we're commanded to do. And when we do more than that, we find ourselves in trouble with God. We all know that, don't we? We know that because of the example of Nadab and Abihu. Remember that? Turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 10, and we have a vivid illustration of this very thing. Like what we discover, we have pointed it out many times from this particular passage, is that we can't do whatever we want to just because God hasn't told us not to. And of course, that's the logic of the religious world today. That's one of the things that distinguishes and separates faithful and sound churches and denominational churches or unsound churches of Christ. Like we've often pointed out that one of the things that we need to recognize is when it comes down to authority, we can only do what we're commanded to do. And the whole idea that we can do whatever God hasn't specifically denied or forbidden us to do, that's just not sound reasoning. As I've pointed out many times, we wouldn't even raise our children like that, would we? Those of you who are parents or grandparents, would you take the position, well, I'm just going to let my children do whatever it is they want to do unless I tell them specifically not to do it? You wouldn't do that. That would lead to chaos. That would lead your children to doing a whole lot of things that you don't want them to do simply because you didn't specifically say not to. And believe me, a lot of churches, and listen, many of them are very sincere in this. When I was doing radio work myself, people would call up all the time, and that would be their argument. And they believed it sincerely. We talk about something like musical instruments. And what would their argument be? Show us where God said we can't play a musical instrument. And if we couldn't show them where God specifically said, thou shall not, they concluded that it was all right. It doesn't matter that he specified what kind of music he wanted, Ephesians 5 at verse 19 and many other places. They didn't care about that because in the mind of most denominational folks, they just think if God didn't say we can't, then that means we can. Listen to me. The silence of the scriptures do not authorize. And that's just understanding the nature of not just Bible authority, but authority in general. Again, you parents wouldn't operate like that with your own children. And so what we discover is then when we do things that God hasn't commanded, we're not abiding in the gospel and we'll have to pay a price for that. And we know that from Leviticus chapter 10. Listen to it. At verse 1, it says, and now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized, the King James says, strange fire before the Lord. Now watch. It goes on to say, which he had not commanded them. What made this fire strange? What made this fire unauthorized? God had not commanded it. Now, the specific fire that they offered up, God never said, thou shalt not. He spoke in generalities a little bit earlier, but the specific fire that they offered, he never said, don't offer that particular mixture. Never said that. But what they offered up, he had not commanded. And when you read further, you know from the next verse, what as a result of that, God sent fire from heaven and killed Nadab and Abihu. Aren't you glad God's not doing that anymore? There'd be fire coming down from heaven all the time. Because people are constantly doing things that God has not commanded. Now, let's tie that into Christmas and the observing of Christmas as a religious holiday. I'm not talking about as a secular holiday. That really falls into the area of judgment. If you want to exchange presents on tomorrow, if you want to put up a Christmas tree, I know many of you do. You're observing that as a secular holiday. And there's a lot of things that we do that may have begun with some kind of religious connotation, but has lost that. Over the years, the very calendar that we use has some religious connotation to it. That doesn't stop us from following the calendar, does it? It's not a religious practice. I'm talking tonight about observing Christmas religiously, that is, as the birthday of Christ. We have no authority for that. We never see them doing that in the New Testament. There's no authorization for it, and therefore it's sinful. It hasn't been commanded. We can't just take our own way. Look over in the book of Numbers just for a second. In Numbers chapter 15, God realized that even the children of Israel would go down that path. And of course, we realize that they did ultimately. But in Numbers chapter 15, and down at about verse 37, listen to this. Numbers chapter 15 at verse 37, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner." They were to do this, he said, throughout their generations. Because he was teaching them something. He wanted those tassels on the corner of their garments to remind them of something. Verse 39, he says, "And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them." Now listen, "not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after." I want you to think about that. Listen at those words. He tells them not to follow after your own heart. Listen to me. Every person who observes Christmas as a religious holiday is doing what? Following after his or her own heart. God never commanded it. If you think that's what Jesus wants you to do, it is nothing more than a guess. You're just basically doing what you want to do. And as I said earlier, that's the problem with the religious world. Not just with Christmas, but with all kinds of issues. With fun and frolic and worship and just religious people just doing whatever they want to do. Following after their own heart. God condemns that. He always has and he always will. And he condemned it in a graphic way with Nadab and Abihu teaching the children of Israel a lesson. Like, can you imagine as they carried those burnt bodies outside of the camp, the city there? It would have filled the people of Israel with fear. These were two priests. These were the sons of Aaron. God had to tell Aaron, make sure you hold your peace. Because I'm going to be sanctified. And I'm going to be honored. And when we do things following our own eyes, following after our own heart, that's not giving God glory. Jesus said, you teach them. You baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to observe all things what I have commanded you. When we go beyond that, we sin against God. That's why we don't observe tomorrow. Or December 25th, as the birthday of Christ. Not only do we know it's not his birthday, but even if we knew it was, he hasn't told us to do it. He hasn't commanded us to do it. Therefore, we ought not to do it. The third reason is very simple, simple again, and that is we do know what God has commanded us to observe in connection with Jesus, don't we? Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And if we want to give God honor and if we want to honor Jesus Christ, this is what we ought to be doing. Isn't it interesting that the very thing that Jesus says that we ought to observe, most religious folks don't observe, at least the way the Bible tells them to. Some don't do it at all. Maybe once a year. It is an amazing thing. I read somewhere where the Jehovah Witnesses, they observe the Lord's Supper once a year, but only the 144,000 can take it. And yet they recognize that in most of their assembly, there's not any of the 144,000, so they just pass it out just because. Nobody partakes of it. Now, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? the things we do when we begin to follow after our own heart. But here's what Jesus commanded us to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, of course, down at verse 23. He says, "For I've received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's what the Lord himself instituted and tells us, this is what I want you to observe. This is what I want you to remember, not the day that I was born. Listen to me, I am not devaluing at all the day that Jesus was born. It was one of the greatest days in human history when the Son of God was manifested in the flesh. When Jesus came down to earth to walk on the face of this earth for 33 and a half years, that was a magnificent time because that led the way to this. That is, the death of Jesus on Calvary's cross. He couldn't die if he wasn't first born. So that was a wonderful day in human history when Jesus was born, but never did he tell us to observe it. But he did tell us to observe his death. Not once a year, but every Lord's Day. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, we have authority for that. We know what it is that we ought to be observing. And again, it's just ironic that a lot of the people that are observing Christmas won't observe what Jesus told them to observe, at least the way the New Testament tells them to do it. And so, on days like today, these kind of Sundays, whether it falls, whether it is on the eve of December 25th or comes a little bit earlier, a little bit later, in sound churches of Christ, it's just another wonderful Lord's Day that we're blessed with. We're blessed with them every week. We have the opportunity to come together and worship God and to be with each other and give God honor and glory. And this is just another one of those opportunities. I know on Christmas and on Easter, you know, what happens all around? We get people coming who never go to worship services except for one or both of those times of years. But we don't change what we do other than exposing the air involved in it. We don't do anything special other than the special things we do every single Lord's Day to give God glory. Because we know tomorrow is not the birthday of Christ. We know Jesus did not command us to observe his birthday. And so we come together and do what he did command us to do. That is to observe the Lord's Supper. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not tonight? What a wonderful opportunity that you can have your sins washed away. Not by water, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But water plays a part in God's scheme of things. We know that baptism does now save us, 1 Peter 3 at verse 21. Because that's God's plan, that we contact figuratively the blood of Christ in the waters of baptism. It's why Paul in Romans chapter 6 at verse 3 says that we're baptized into his death. What did Jesus do in his death? He shed his blood. You need to contact that blood so that it can wash away your sins. And it will do it. It will get the job done. It will wash away your sins completely and perfectly. But you have to do your part. You have to be willing to be baptized. You don't want to go in the water, a dry sinner, and come out a wet sinner. So there's some other things you have to do. You have to believe in Jesus, of course, Mark 16 at verse 16. You have to repent of your sins, Acts 3 at verse 19, and you have to confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, and then you're in position to be baptized. Then when you are baptized, your sins will be washed away, and you'll become a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17. What a wonderful opportunity if you're in an undone condition. If you're a Christian and you're not haven't been living right, you too can change that situation. Repent of your sins and ask God for forgiveness. Repent and pray God, Peter told Simon after he had sinned. You can do the same thing. Whatever you have to do, make yourself, get yourself right with God while you have the opportunity. You may not have tomorrow, but you have right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing.